Blog Talk Radio.
All right. So let's see here. You ready to go?
Ready.
Bobby's probably like, how come they're not on yet?
See, I hope they're doing the show this week.
Hey, Eric, I sent you a message. All right, here we go.
What's happening?
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we're going to talk about it right here. My name is Eric Lorta. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib, and we got a great show for you today. If you guys want to call in, 323-870-3857. Tonight, we're talking about Daniel Dubois suing Don King. We got some big fights on the horizon, much more. But first, we get started with DAZN, Virgil Ortiz Jr. versus Michael McKimson. 12 rounds, welterweights. Ortiz Jr. wins by TKO over Michael McKimson in the ninth round. Ortiz, you know, for the most part, I think he controlled this fight. He did a great job. I think the power was a little bit too much for McKimson, because McKimson was a really good fighter in there. You could tell, as Beebe and I were talking earlier, he was there to win, but he wasn't necessarily winning the rounds. You know what I mean? There was a big difference, and I think the power had to do with that. He didn't want to take too many chances. In about the eighth round, Ortiz started going south toward that body, put McKimson down, and then finally put him away in the ninth. Overall, it was definitely a good showing by Ortiz. He is now the mandatory WBA number one contender. He is also the WBO number one contender. Listen, let's talk about this for a minute. First of all, before we go any further, what were your thoughts on Ortiz?
I thought Ortiz looked phenomenal. The problem with McKimson in this fight was there was no safe space for him in that ring. He couldn't stand on the outside. He couldn't beat him on the mid-range, or he couldn't beat him on the inside. Virgil Ortiz is that versatile. His best chance to win was to try to stay on the outside and create some space and not allow Virgil Ortiz to muscle him on the inside. But even then, he couldn't keep Virgil Ortiz out. The thing about Virgil Ortiz that is so phenomenal is this guy is such an efficient fighter. There's not much wasted motion from this guy at all. He's always in position, never throws a punch when he's off balance or not in the right position to throw that punch. Doesn't make many mistakes. You hit him one time, he moves and he's not in that same spot again where you can hit him a second time, right? So he's just a very smart fighter. He's a very physically strong fighter, and he's a hard puncher. And he generates a lot of power with not really pulling back and loading up on these shots. Like
legs.
I said,
he's got those legs,
yeah.
You know.
He's such a precise puncher. You know what I mean? And that's why he hits you with that sneaky power. You can't really see it coming because he'll just throw like a 6-inch punch and then just turns it. It puts every ounce of amount of leverage that he has in that body of his, and he doesn't really have to overexert himself to generate power when he throws these shots. And also too, you know, he doesn't load up with the shots. So, you know, he'll touch and mix in the hard one. So he's a very patient fighter too, right? He's a very patient fighter, changes levels. He's just a very, very skilled fighter. And whether or not he can beat an Errol Spence or a Boot Dennis or Terrence Crawford, I'll tell you one thing. It's going to be a tough assignment for all three of those guys when and if they do meet Virgil Ortiz. And if you ask me who's going to win, I would favor Terrence Crawford, but I would not be shocked if Virgil Ortiz wins the fight.
Close fight.
It's a winnable fight. Now, would I favor him for that? No. But he's ready. I mean, I don't think he's, you know, Can he get better? Maybe, but he's good enough right now to contend, because you never know when that opportunity will come up again.
He's only got like 18 fights, right?
Yes.
He's only got 18 fights. I mean, that's...
And he's still relatively young. I think he's supposed to be like 24, 25 years old himself.
Something
like
that.
How old is he? I think he's like 24 or something like that. I don't know exactly how old he is. I know he's in his early to mid-20s. He's going to get better. But again, you don't want to let this opportunity pass you by, right? Because you got that ranking, and if they make you the mandatory and you don't accept it, then you got to go to the back of the line. Why would you want to do that? So,
right. That's true, too. You know, the one thing that impressed me about Ortiz is that he was able to adjust. He was able to make the adjustment. He wasn't really hurting him. He wasn't really hurting McKinson. He was winning the fight. He was winning rounds. But when he went to the body, he adjusted in the eighth round. They told him, hey, go to the body. Go start doing what we tell you to do. And he made those adjustments. And that's a big deal. You know, that's a big deal. That's, you know, you think about like guys like Jermaine Taylor. You remember Jermaine Taylor? When, you know, they would tell him something, he would do it until he got hit, and then he would revert right back to what he knows. And that's not this guy. This guy will, you know, he can make the adjustments. He does make the adjustments, and that's where we are. I'll tell you what, as far as his chances against Crawford and Spence, and the funny thing is that somebody, I guess, who was it in the chat? Yeah, Notorious in the chat says, who cares if he has a chance to win or not? We want Spence Crawford. Nobody cares about Ortiz right now. And I get you. I feel that. I understand. I think that's a fair statement. Yeah, fair statement, for sure.
I got to get an argument out of me on that one.
But here's the problem. Where's that fight at? What have you heard on the Spence Crawford situation?
Well, you told me something today that I didn't know.
Yeah,
I didn't know there was an issue with the purse.
The word out there, the word out there is that Terrence Crawford wants 50-50, and they're not really willing to give that to him. Now, does he deserve 50%? Yeah, he probably does. I mean, he brings a lot to the table. You know, two-time undisputed. Yeah, he brings a lot. Pound for pound, number one. Yeah, he brings a lot to the table. Where they're coming from pay-per-view dollars. He doesn't do very well on pay-per-view. Errol Spence does better than average on pay-per-view. I get it. I get both sides of it, you know, and not to mention if they have this fight in Texas, he'll sell out that stadium. That stadium will sell out for Spence. But if they have it in Nebraska, they'll sell out for Crawford. You know, I get it. I get that he wants 50, but sometimes you just, like, you know, if they give you 40, 60, 40, 45, 55, let's just take it and let's be done with it, man. Either you want this fight or you don't want this fight. So that's where Virgil Ortiz comes in, because I'm not 100% sure that you guys are going to get that fight next. It's a fight we all want to see. Don't get me wrong. I got it. I do too. I don't know that you're going to get that fight next, which puts him front and center. The easiest fight to make would not be Virgil Ortiz versus Errol Spence. The easier fight to make would be Virgil Ortiz versus Terrence Crawford. Am I right?
Yeah.
Easier fight to make. You got one golden boy and one free agent here. Easiest fight to make. How would he do? How would Virgil Ortiz do against a guy like Terrence Crawford? Again, I think I agree with B. We would have to favor Terrence Crawford. He's got all the intangibles. He's got more experience. You're looking at, what is he at, 30-some fights versus 18 fights? That's a big difference. And we're not talking about
fights with Crawford.
Yeah, we're not talking about touch-up fights. We're talking about world-class competition here.
Yeah.
Every division he's been into, world-class competition. Whether you guys want to admit it or not, the guys he fought, you can say their name, they are world-class fighters.
Yeah.
Bottom line, world-class fighters, you know. As far as Ortiz is concerned, no, I think you'd have to make him the underdog in any of those fights between him, Errol Spence. The only one maybe you can make a claim for, I would favor Boots Ennis, but I think that could be a 50-50 fight.
You can pick him, yeah.
But I tell you what, Virgil Ortiz absolutely stands a chance against anybody in there. That's what makes the division so exciting, is that they all stand a chance to beat each other. You got those four guys in there. You got Boots Ennis, you got the two at the top, and then you got Virgil Ortiz.
Danny Onis is there too.
Yeah, that's not a cakewalk either. You know, you got these four guys. All we need is these four guys that just come together and start fighting one another, you know?
Yeah.
Boots Ennis has got to be, I'll tell you what, Boots Ennis has got to be the most frustrated guy on the planet right now. He's not going to get a shot at Errol Spence. I guarantee that won't happen. Boots Ennis may be the best welterweight out there. But the funny thing is, we could say this about any one of those four.
Right.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, right?
It's a good thing.
Great thing, man. So that was good stuff, man. I thought that Ortiz did great. You know, let me tell you what, realistically, we're going to talk about this guy next. The fight I want to see next, I want to see him and Blair Cobbs fight. I want to see Ortiz and Blair Cobbs fight. How fun would that be?
It's a fun fight.
It would be fun because Blair Cobbs looked about as good as I've ever seen him look yesterday.
He did. He looked good.
He looked amazing. And I'll tell you what. That was a 50-50 fight. Blair Cobbs and Maurice Hooker, that was a 50-50 fight going in. I was leaning toward Maurice Hooker. When he signed this fight, you and I both said, wow, that's a tough fight for him. That's no gimme, man. That was a tough fight.
Maurice Hooker was a 3-1 favorite this fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm going to be honest with you. I thought Maurice Hooker was going to beat him.
Do you see how big he was?
I thought Maurice Hooker was
tough. How much do you think he weighed when he came into that ring yesterday?
About 160.
At least, right? At least, yep. 160.
He was huge.
I
thought Hooker was going to stop him. That was my prediction.
I tell you what, it was how dangerous was this fight for Cobbs? Coming off a TKO loss, coming off that loss that he came off with, that he shouldn't have lost, but he did, you know, coming off that loss, and to do what he did yesterday, unanimous decision, 97-90 twice, 96-91. Again, man, 50-50 fight coming in. He put it on Maurice Hooker, man. He really did. I mean, he looked great in there. And I think that, you know, if you're looking at it, I don't even remember what his record was. It was like, but it's similar to Ortiz. Ortiz, if he can't get the big fight next, that's the guy. That right there, they're both in your stable. Make that fight.
That was a great win for Blair Cobbs yesterday. He was very poised. There was none of that theatrics, the woos, and
he came out serious. I think because
serious,
he knew it was on the line. He knew it was on the line because if he loses to Maurice Hooker, it's going to be tough getting back, tough getting money fights, tough getting anything. I don't care how good your personality is. At the end of the day, you got to turn it out. You got to win. You know.
He called up Crawford, too. That was hilarious.
Why not? I mean, again, do you think that fight's going to be made this year? I don't think it's going to be made. I don't think it gets made.
Crawford Spence?
Yeah.
I don't want to jinx it. I'm going to say yes. I don't want to say it's not going to be made.
Yeah.
I'm going to root for this fight.
I am, too. I think, you know, this is as big as a Sugar Ray Hearns fight. That's what it is. You know, this fight is as big as that. Now, whether it goes down or not, that I'm not so sure about. But I am pulling for it. Obviously, I want to see it. Tim Gallegos, thank you so much, brother. We appreciate it. He said, I was right about Blair, the Flair Cobbs, friend of the show, by the way. He looked tremendous. Can I get a woo? There you go. Ric Flair had his last match this week. Did you hear about that? What was it? Was it last week? Last Sunday, maybe? I don't know. But, yeah, it was like Ric Flair's last match. He wrestled a tag team. He wrestled Jeff Jarrett or something like that. I don't know, but I think he won. So
Good for him. I like Ric Flair.
73 or something like that. He's 73, 74 years old.
What a machine this guy is.
Look, man, you know he's got to be in shape to just get in there and do that. But to get in there and do that at 74, that's crazy.
He's no joke, bro.
No, that's
I respect that guy.
You gotta be in some kind of shape, man. He talks a lot of trash, but Jesus, man, he's got to be in some kind of shape to do that.
I respect that guy.
Alex Martin beat Hank Lundy yesterday. You know what? I didn't see the fight. All I heard is Hank Lundy lost, and that was enough for me. Hank Lundy fighting a junior welterweight now. I can't think that, I can't imagine Hank Lundy's got too much more in him. You know, but every time we mention Hank Lundy, I always say, this is a guy that should have been a superstar. He was promoted poorly. The guy didn't know what he had when he had this guy, man, because this guy has the gift of gab. I mean, he's just, every time he talks, he just draws you in. I don't understand why he was never a bigger star. I really don't. But he was still a known fighter. You know, for as much as
he had some big fights in his career.
Still a
Crawford,
known
right?
fighter. Yeah, still a known fighter. Yeah, exactly.
Had some title shots in there, yeah.
Yeah, still known, man. Good guy. Super nice guy. And then there was two ladies fighting, Beeb. You happen to catch that one? Since, you know, you're our residential chick expert over here, why don't you, I didn't happen to catch that one. I tell you what, I was watching this. Because Lisa was watching, I think, Charmed or something stupid on the TV. So I'm watching this, you know, and I've got it on and I'm watching this. I'm like, these girls are 112 pounds. How tall was that one girl? What's her name? Esparza
is like,
she's got to be like 3 foot, right?
She's like
4'11". Small, man.
She's like 4'11".
Yeah, that was the worst. It was the most boring. I don't know. I don't like women boxing. Listen, and let me tell you, before you guys start getting your keyboards ready, doesn't make me a sexist because I don't like women's boxing.
It's your opinion.
I thought you were going to call me a pig. Lisa will call me a pig.
You have the right to your own opinion. I'm not going to tell you what to like.
I just don't like. It's just not my thing. Antonio Luna, thank you so much. He said, do you think Spence and the PBC go the easy route and wait until Crawford drops the WBO and fights the winner of an eliminator? Low risk, low reward. No, I think that makes the fight less interesting. I think it makes it less less appealing if he drops. The thing that makes it appealing is that you're fighting for all the belts, you know.
Why would he drop the WBO?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Unless you heard something I haven't.
Danny Ramirez, thank you so much. He said, Stanowicz stops Blair. Very true. I would
agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, you have so much talent in that welterweight division, and I got a feeling that those two are going to move up. Crawford is going to move up, and I have a feeling that Spence is going to move up.
And sooner or later, is going to move up as well.
He looks like he can barely make that weight as it is. I mean, he's such a big guy.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He's a big dude.
So there you go. Lobito's Boxing Breakdowns, thank you so much. He said, Eric, for some reason, I can't stay away from your channel. You're a great man. Thank you so much, sir. We appreciate it here. Let's see here. On ESPN Plus, this was a shocker for me. I'll be honest, man. This was a real shocker for me. I picked Conlon to win. I didn't pick him to win like that. I thought that Mariaga, you know, was going to really – Give him some of that resistance, you know.
Yeah.
Michael Conlon wins a unanimous decision over Miguel Mariaga, 99-88 twice and 99-89. I guess, I'll be honest with you, I guess they gave him the last round. I guess they gave Mariaga the last round because I couldn't pick a round to give that guy.
I don't think I gave him a round.
I didn't give him a round either. But if you're going to give him a round, I guess the 10th round would have been your round, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't give him any room.
He floored Mariaga a few times. I was shocked at how one-sided this fight was. Now, listen, man, I understand Mariaga's not what he was. I understand that he's probably on the darker side of his career, okay? I get that. And I get, you know, you're fighting with Colin. I understand he's the house fighter. I got all that. But I just expected a little bit more resistance. But you know what? There wasn't anything Mariaga could have done against that guy.
No,
nothing. I mean, Conlon was standing in front of him. He had his left hand down all night long, you know, or his right hand down all night. He couldn't mess with that guy. You couldn't touch him. He was too quick, and, I mean, just it was so one-sided, man. And I couldn't get over that, man. I just could not believe how one-sided it was. Conlon hit that guy at will. And after the fight, you know what he wants next. He said he wants any other champion, but he'd rather have Lee Wood. He wants that Lee Wood rematch.
I think he beats him in the rematch.
He was beating him in the first fight. All he had to do was stand for 90 seconds. He was beating him in the first fight. I will tell you what, man. That's the fight of the year so far. I don't think there's any questions about it, man. To me, Lee Wood and Michael Conlon, that first fight was the fight of the year. And I don't know that anybody is taking that away, you know.
Yeah.
I want to see a rematch, though.
Well, if
I think
Lee
we got
Wood,
to, right?
Yeah, if Lee Wood can't get that Santa Cruz fight, then I think the Conlon fight would be a natural. It was the fight of the year the first time. I see no reason why it wouldn't be a great fight the second time.
Yeah, it's just, you know, Lee Wood is one of those guys that you root for just because he's the underdog. Lee Wood's not supposed to be in this position. You know what I mean? He's not supposed to even be here.
He's an overachiever. He's an overachiever.
He's absolutely an overachiever. Yeah, you look at that guy, you're like, he doesn't, you know, it's not like, you know, you look at him and there's nothing special that comes out about him except his grit. You know, he's got that determination. He's a good boxer. Don't get me wrong. He's obviously a great boxer. But there's nothing that really jumps out at you. Michael Collins.
There's nothing dynamic about the guy.
Yeah. Right.
He's solid, but there's nothing dynamic about
him. Right. We shouldn't be talking about him right now. No way. Michael Collins should have steamrolled that guy, man. And he didn't. You see that mural they posted, that they painted of Lee Wood in his hometown? They painted like a – it's amazing, man. Beautiful. They love him there. They love him there, man. So if I'm Lee Wood, I'm riding this train. Everybody's coming to my hometown to fight me because that's a good luck place for him, man. Fight of the year, man. Fight of the year. I can't wait. I cannot wait. Were you surprised with Michael Conlan in that performance?
I thought he would win, but I didn't think it was going to be a shutout. I thought it was going to be like maybe a 7-3 type fight, but it was a shutout on my card. And I didn't expect all the knockdowns. And as the fight wore on, he started getting more comfortable, and he was seeing how easy it was to hit Mariaga, and then he started slipping in some more of the power shots. He started stepping to him and started pushing Mariaga back. And Mariaga usually doesn't get manhandled like that, you know?
Yeah.
And, he was getting forced back against Conlan, who's not a huge, huge puncher, but Conlan was getting his attention. And there was a point in the fight where I thought that Conlan may have gotten the stoppage, you know, because he was like he really hurt Mariaga. I think it was, I want to say, in the 8th or 9th round it was.
Yeah.
He was coming on.
I think it was in the 8th round.
Yeah.
But just hitting him at will, man. And Mariaga, you know, he looked just tight out there. He looked real pensive. And I think because he was getting hit. And, you know, Conlan, listen.
He's not flat.
Like
he's flat.
He's not, you know, and listen, man, he's not a light puncher. I mean, he can punch to the face by anybody calls a light puncher. It still hurts, you know. It's still he still got the ability to get you out of there.
I mean, is there really such thing as a soft puncher?
I've never met one. I've never sparred one. Have you ever sparred a light puncher?
No,
sparred a light puncher.
I've never got punched in the face and say, hey, that's all good.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've never sparred anybody that was a quote unquote light puncher. You know, I mean, I don't know, man. I've never met one. You know.
No.
All right, let's talk about the schedule coming up here. Let's see here. Get the schedule, and then we're going to give you an update on Haseem Rahman and Jake Paul, and then we're going to go to the phones, all right? So just hang on if you're there. August 12th, Prescott Valley, Arizona. No TV on this. Tevin Farmer versus Mickey Bay, 10 rounds lightweights. This is August 12th. Tremaine Williams versus Jatro Pabustan, 10 rounds junior featherweights. Keenan Carvajal versus Aiello Mosquita, 8 rounds featherweights. I want to say that's going to be on ESPN, but I don't know. No TV or anything like that listed, so I don't see it. ESPN Plus, I guess this is Saturday, August 13th. Teofimo Lopez versus Pedro Campa, 10 rounds junior welterweights. Xander Zayas versus Elias Espadas, 8 rounds junior middleweights. Headlining this whole card, Duke Reagan versus D'Angelo Fuente, 6 rounds featherweights. Hey, Beeb, I don't know if you know this. Do you know where Duke Reagan is from?
Ohio.
Cincy, baby. Cincinnati. Cincinnati's own Duke Reagan, son. How about that? Duke Reagan headlines. I think they might have Teofimo the last fight, but Duke Reagan is really headlining this whole card. That's what people are paying to see.
He should be headlining.
He absolutely should be headlining. I mean,
I agree.
You know, who is Teofimo? I mean, listen, we make room for the new guys here. You know what I mean? So he absolutely should be there.
Well, Teofimo Lopez's esophagus is healed up.
Yeah, right? And I hope Pedro Campa isn't on PEDs, you know.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, like his last opponent apparently was.
I hope there's not a conspiracy against Teofimo Lopez this time.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of a tall order. I don't know. I mean, you know.
Dex always stacked against him.
Who never heard of Duke? Who's never heard of Duke? Who? Brian, the boxing brain. I'm going to take that name away, but you're just Brian now. You're just Brian. You're no longer Brian, the boxing brain. He said never heard of Duke. Duke is the man, son. Everybody's heard of Duke. What are you looking for, Beeb, in this Teofimo fight?
Well, this guy is all over the place mentally, right? You never know what you're going to get. You have to ask yourself, will there be a letdown in this fight, right? How's he going to feel going into this fight? Will he be up for this fight? Will he be complacent? And he seems to always have some type of problem going into the fight.
Everybody, do you ever go into a fight 100%? Does anybody ever go into any kind of athletic contest at 100%?
I don't even go into work 100%.
I don't ride, exactly, you know. So
I wake up with, you know, something hurting me, whether I got an ache and a pain or,
right.
You know, I got to pop some acetaminophen medicine every morning, for Christ's sake.
I don't think anybody's ever gone into an athletic competition at 100%. I just don't, you know.
But this guy has an issue of dealing with these outside distractions. Seems to carry them into the ring with him.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. He's been inactive for a while too, right? It's been a while since he's fought.
Yeah.
Moving up a weight class. We'll see. I've gone on record. I don't think he's ever going to be world champ again.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's a horrible thing to say.
That's awful.
But I just don't think anyone's going to do him any favors. I don't believe in the kid.
Friend of the show.
I don't believe
How
in
dare
the kid.
You.
I don't believe in the
that
kid.
That is so.
And I feel bad saying it. I just don't believe in the kid.
Well, you should feel bad saying it. That is just harsh. Uncalled for, harsh. Wow.
I don't like the fact that he stayed with his dad. I think his dad is a horrible influence.
Dad.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
Getting worse, man.
I loved my dad. May he rest in peace. But I'll tell you one thing. There's no way he'd be training me if I was in a professional fight. Only so many times you could tell me I suck. I mean, I remember when I used to play baseball. He'd be yelling in the stands, "What the fuck are you doing? It's the goddamn ball." Think I want him in my corner? I'm out of here.
D-Style, thank you so much. He said hit the like button for Ringside Reporter.
Hey, everybody in the chat, hit the motherfucking like button.
There you go. Thank you so much, D-Style. And, yeah, guys, again, man, I'm not asking you to work in a coal mine, man. Just hit the like button. That's all I ask for. All I ever ask for from you guys, hit the like button. It's real simple. Just, that's it. Just, even if you're on your phone, you just tap. How tough is that? Come on, man.
When I remember one time I struck out 4 times in a game, and my father was at the game, my brother was at the game, and my sisters were at the game. And we all went out to ice cream, and guess what happened?
I didn't get one
because I struck out 4 times.
Hey, you know what?
How do you do that? How do you do that?
Ice cream. Let me tell you something right now.
How do you do that?
Something you don't know. Ice cream is for closers, son. Ice cream is for closers. Got it?
I didn't even get an ice cream just because I struck out.
Yeah, well, hey, you didn't close it. You didn't close the show, did you?
That was a punishment.
Huh? That's right. That's right. Yeah. No Haagen-Dazs for you, son.
Horrible.
Yeah. Maybe you should have got a hit. Bet you hit the next game, though, didn't you?
All I wanted was a soft serve and a cup, and I couldn't even get
it. Well, hey, that's the closer, son. You don't get that. You remember that. Same as on here. Closers, son. Toughen up. Get it together. All right. Let's talk about Haseem Rahman Jr. before we go to the phones. Your boy, Beeb. Your boy.
I owe you an apology.
Say it. I want you to say it.
I'm sorry, Beeb, Eric.
Am a straight sucker. I want you to say it.
I'm sorry, Eric. You called him a liar
last week.
And we've come to find that he lied about everything. He told on
all of it.
He lied about everything.
I think that was the worst part, is that he just came clean and just, like, let it all go. Like, I'm just a big liar and a buffoon and a troll.
You know what the big tell was, Eric? Who pulls out of the fight the last week overweight? So he was saying to himself, I'm going to demand to come in at 215. There's no way this guy's going to pull out with 1 week to go. And guess what?
He pulled out.
They said, fuck this. We can't trust you.
Yep.
Every time we have asked you to do something every part of that contract he broke.
I think the best part of this whole thing, the best part, this is beautiful. This was just the cherry on top, right? So he goes all week. He holds a press conference on Sunday and says, you know what? I'm going to make weight just to show you I can make weight, and maybe Jake Paul will keep the fight on, knowing that the fight's already gone. Because once you tell the other card the fight's canceled, hey, you know what? Fight's canceled. All right, Showtime pulled out of it, Espinoza and all the other guys, they all pulled out of it, all right? The best part is he claims all week long, I'm going to make weight, I'm going to weigh in on Friday. He still didn't make the weight. He still came in a pound and a half heavy. A pound and a half, son.
And he looked dead at 206.
Look, guys, listen. What is it? The MMA guys will come in 20 pounds overweight and lose that weight. It's very doable. It is very doable. He didn't want to do it. For $250,000, babe.
$275,000. They gave him $25,000 in training expenses.
If you had to lose 30 pounds on your frame, could you do it for $275,000?
Yeah, I could try.
No.
Here's the problem.
You would at least give it a go, right? And you know you could do it. I
could probably do it.
All right. I can lose 30 pounds, right? If you gave me $275,000, I'd easily lose 35 pounds, right?
He didn't try to make the weight.
No.
He didn't try.
He was hoping that he could come in there at 215.
Yeah.
And Brian the Boxing Brain, or just Brian now, he doesn't know who Duke Reagan is, he said he looked mortally drained at 206. I heard that too. I didn't see the weigh-in, but I heard he looked awful at that weigh-in. Looked like a zombie. Oh, and by the way, all you guys in the comments last week of our video, you can't call him a liar and assassinate a man's character. Son, I told you.
I told you
he was lying, son.
He said the lowest he could get down to was 215. That's another lie, because he got down to 206.6. But here's the thing. He got down to 206.6 knowing he didn't have to fight the next day.
I know, right?
That's why he did it. Knowing he didn't have to fight the next day.
And he was 206 and a half. He wouldn't even – so on non-title matches, the way it usually goes is you get a pound allowance, right? I don't know. It just in boxing, it depends on the contract. MMA, typically you get a pound allowance, and usually, except in title fights. It wasn't a title fight. You get a pound allowance, right? He couldn't even get that because he was still a half a pound over.
Here's the thing, too, though. So Stephen Espinosa said that he demanded the fight be at 215 when they sent over the 205 contract, right?
Right. It was a statement, he said. He said it was a statement. It wasn't an ask.
Yeah,
it wasn't a request.
It wasn't a negotiation. He said they tried to convince him to accept the 205. And here's another thing. You know, I'm going to put my lawyer hat on, but when you reject an offer and you make a counter offer, essentially what you're doing is turning down that contract, and that contract becomes void. So he did turn down the offer they gave him. Now his argument is, why didn't they give me another offer? Because they can't trust you, and you already turned down the offer anyway. You turned down an offer with a week to go. Why are they going to bend over backwards for you?
And so the best part of this whole thing, as the week goes on, he's releasing sparring footage. And today I think Jake Paul released all the footage. But again, if you watch all the footage, you can hear Jake Paul saying, and the people telling him, okay, just jab. Now move to your right. Now move. They're telling him what to do because they're trying to mimic his opponent, right? So what does that even matter? Like, nobody even cares. So you've got the best of them again in sparring. Again, nobody cares, son.
Well, here's another thing. He releases the footage of when Jake Paul turned and ran from him. But in that same sequence, Jake Paul lands a freaking right hand that snaps his head back.
Right.
So the only two punches that were landed in that 10-second sequence were from Jake Paul, a jab to the stomach and a right hand to the head that snapped his head back. Did he turn and run? Yeah. But he still snapped the head back.
So it's Rockman's fault. Modern King Boxing says, so it's Rockman's fault that boxers didn't get paid since Paul is the promoter. It's all a joke. Jake should have had a match made better. No, well, listen, he signed the contract. Brockman signed the contract and said, yeah, I can make weight. But the commission said, no, you can't lose that much weight. You got to go to 205. But look, man, I mean, you signed the contract. It is 100% on Brockman here, especially given the fact that you lied about all this. 100% on Brockman. That undercard didn't get paid because of Brockman. 100%. This whole event is on his head. And let me tell you what. Nobody is picking that guy up.
100%. You just hit the nail on the head. You just hit the nail right on the head, because I hear people, and again, I respect everyone's opinion. Again, my opinion was ridiculous last week, and I'm embarrassed about it. And it is what it is. I have to live with that. I'll take it on the chin. That's what I do here. I'll take it on the chin.
You do take it on the chin quite often, man. I hate that.
For the sake of entertainment value for the show.
I hate that for you.
For the sake of entertainment value for the show, I'll take it on the chin from last week. But I'm hearing people say, well, you know, it's like 30% Jake Paul's fault and 70% Rock. No, it's 100%
Rockman's
fault. 100%
Rockman's fault. Look, Jake Paul made weight.
He kept lying.
And he said he could. And you know what? He could have. He could have made that weight. That's the worst part about it, is he could have made that weight. And you say, well.
He didn't try.
Well,
he was the one.
No, he didn't try.
He was the one. He kept saying, oh, well, Jake Paul, he doesn't want to fight a real fighter. He's this. He's not a real boxer. He's a fraud. Then why didn't you just get the, if he's so bad, then why, you could have beat him at 205 then.
Yeah.
And then you would have been able to enter the ring at about 220. Because here's the sequence of events. You make the 205, you rehydrate up to 215, 12 o'clock the next day. Then you got 8 to 10 more hours before the fight. You put on another 8 pounds. Essentially, you were going to enter that ring at about 220 pounds, and he was going to be in that ring at about 195 pounds. You were still going to have a significant weight advantage, and you still didn't. And again, I understand he's never made weight before. He's been a heavyweight all career, whatever. And that was probably weighing on, but again, Jake Paul, for the first time, was going to be fighting a heavyweight. He was going to be giving up 25 pounds on the night of the fight. Maybe 30. It's pretty easy to figure this one out.
Yeah, I mean, Notorious B.C. hit it on the head. He said he signed the contract, had no intention of honoring it, bad faith negotiating. He'll never get a fight after this. 100%. He'll fight again. Don't get me wrong. But he will never headline again. Headline on big cards. No way. Nobody could trust him.
They gave me the 25,000, but it took them 10 days to give it to me. But you still got the money.
You got it. You still got it, right?
You still got the money. It's not like when you hire a nutritionist, give me all the money up front. You give them a deposit, and you can pay them at the end. You don't have to pay them you know what I'm saying?
Okay, so Modern King Boxing says, so in all fairness, why would Jake fight little guys but not bigger? Wilder did it, and it ain't like Rockman of Fury. I get it. You know what? I get you. But the same reason why Canelo makes people weight drain when they have the Canelo weight and he makes people weight drain, same reason Floyd did stuff like that, same reason. I mean, it's just to give you an advantage. Listen, it's to take an advantage. You know, when you get title, listen, when you fight the champion, he's got all the cards. So if he wants to make you come up to whatever weight, listen, you're making a lot of money for this fight. Yeah. I mean, he's the guy. It's pay-per-view. But, he's the guy.
But if Jake Paul is allegedly so-called not a real fighter, then you can't compare him to these other guys then. If he's not a real fighter and he doesn't have the experience that Rockman has and he's giving up a significant size advantage – even with all the stipulations, he's still giving up a huge size advantage.
Right.
Then he's got to try to level the playing field.
You know, and Roadrunner 1000 says, or RR 1000 says, Jake is famous because he's a YouTuber, not a pro fighter.
Right.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how he's famous. I mean, look how many people he's drawing in there. He drew more people at that Cleveland Stadium than Bronner drew here in Cincinnati. And Bronner's a champion. He's been doing this for years. He's talent, you know. And, I mean, again, this is Jake Paul. He brings a lot of eyes to the sport. This is what a lot of people don't understand. He brings a lot of eyes to the sport. Hey, Beeb, I don't know if you knew this. Did you know Jake Paul? Where's he from? Ohio, son. Ohio. We got the best fighters on the planet, son.
And Showtime gave him a contract to fight on Showtime pay-per-view.
Yeah. That's it.
So,
man.
I mean, if people are going to pay him to do what he's doing, then he's going to take the money.
What's the difference between what he's doing and what Floyd's doing? Floyd's fighting like kickboxers and stuff with no experience in boxing, you know, and making him fight his rules. The same thing.
Again.
Same exact thing.
You don't have to tune in if you don't like it. That's all.
Yeah. Brian said it's the Jake Paul show. He's right. That's it. All right, let's go to Robert. Let's go to Robert first. He was on hold the longest here. 530, you're live.
Hello, guys. You know, I got to feel sorry for Jake Paul in a sense that he's tried to put fights together and people make up excuses not wanting to actually get in the ring with him. You got Tommy Fury not wanting to travel over here, make a fight. And then you got this Rockman character who agrees to a deal and then comes out and admits, well, I lied about everything. I mean, like Jake Paul or not, he's kind of getting screwed over here because he's trying to prove, hey, look, I'm not doing this just to make money. I'll actually fight a real fighter, and yet he's asked two real fighters to actually step up to the plate and fight him, and they both have made excuses not to fight him.
I wouldn't exactly say I feel sorry for Jake Paul.
What is the saying?
I would, yeah, I wouldn't.
Well, no, Eric,
I wouldn't
Eric,
exactly
Eric,
say I'm,
listen,
I feel
Eric,
bad for Jake
Eric,
Paul.
Eric, listen to this one. He wants Triple G to get physically maimed in the ring.
But he feels bad
right?
for Jake Paul.
But he feels bad for Jake Paul.
Well,
let me find out. He's got a Jake Paul poster on his wall.
No,
hey, Jake Paul's from Ohio. I don't blame him. I got one, too.
Hey, look, don't you feel sorry for him in the sense he's actually trying to get a real fighter in the ring with him instead of getting somebody from MMA or some celebrity to fight him? He's actually trying to get a real fighter in the ring. That's what I mean by feeling sorry for him.
Yeah, you cut it out, will you please?
All right, so in the same light, now he is fighting a real boxer, which is Haseem Rockman. However.
Right.
Knowing that Haseem Rockman is last weight, he's never weighed, below 230 or 225 for a fight?
Right.
And then having him drain all the way down to 200 pounds.
Right.
I think he's been 211 before, but that was way earlier.
Yeah, like when he was born or something like that.
Right.
I mean, he was in a grade school, you know. But, I mean, I don't feel that bad for him. He's trying to weight drain this guy and everything else. I mean, let's keep it in perspective here. I mean, come on.
Right. But
you're getting destroyed, Robert. You're getting destroyed right now.
Well, hey, that's
I see what he's saying. I get what he's saying.
That's perfectly fine. Go ahead and destroy me all you want. But, I've got to give the guy credit. He's actually trying to get a real boxer in the ring with him. And, whether you believe in Jake Paul or not, whether you think this thing is real, I mean, he's won 5 fights. He's heard all the criticism. He's actually trying to get a real fighter in the ring with him. And he also has helped, Amanda Serrano in her career. I mean, he got her the Katie Taylor fight, and that was a hell of a fight, whether people want to admit it or not. So,
I didn't really see that fight. I don't really like the chick boxing, but. Yeah, I mean, he's done a lot. I mean, he pays him and everything like that. I get you. But, there's always gimmicks. Now, the rumor has he's looking at Anderson Silva for his next fight, and I think Anderson Silva wipes him. I really do. I think Silva's a different kind of animal, man. I think Silva's so good.
He won't beat Silva.
No, Silva's one of them guys that if he went into boxing, he would have been a champ. I mean, he's that good. He's got hands, man. He's so good. His movement.
Right. But as far as Michael Conlon and Virgil Ortiz, they both looked fantastic yesterday. And I agree with you. I don't think we're going to get the Spence Crawford fight. I'm rooting for it, but I don't think we're going to get it.
I didn't say that. Eric said that.
I said that.
I hope we do. I said, when Eric asked me,
Yeah.
I said I'm going to be optimistic and say we are. Don't put words in my mouth, kid.
Okay, all right. But no,
unless you
did
put words in my mouth. This show is recorded. You know that, right? Like,
yeah,
you
I know.
Back and
but
make,
and no, Eric. In that case, I agree with you. I don't know if we're going to get that.
Absolutely.
So.
I don't either. I don't either. But you know what that does is it clears out room for guys like Boots, and it clears out room for guys like Ortiz and Stanois.
Yep.
I mean, it clears out room for all those guys. So
that's right.
You know,
right.
Hopefully,
yep.
You know, there's a silver lining to that cloud if it doesn't happen. I'd love it to happen. But
it calls in and drops nothing but negativity.
Yeah,
it says one positive. There's been not one positive statement on this whole call.
I agree, Robert. You seem very very glass half empty today.
You know.
Well, what can I say? Well, then I'll end
don't
it on
ever,
this.
Don't ever get a job being a therapist because you would suck at that. I'll tell you that right now.
I'll end it on this.
Yeah, maybe
note.
You should end it right here. There doesn't seem to be much to your life, actually.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Eric.
Robbie telling somebody.
Yeah. Therapist like you, man.
Right, I know. That's Robbie being a therapist, man.
That's
cold blooded, Robert, man. Why would you tell somebody that? Seriously, why would you tell somebody that? That's messed up, man.
That's bad. have we got any updates yet on the Anthony Joshua Usyk fight on how we're going to be able to see it here in the U.S.?
No, we don't. That's and that's something we want to talk about here, babe. You know, I haven't seen anything. We know if Sky's going to carry it. I don't think DAZN is going to carry it, but I don't know. I mean, it hasn't been said. It hasn't been set here in the States on who's going to carry it. We know it will be carried. Let's not get carried away. We know who's going to carry it. We're going to see the fight. But you know what's crazy is that, like I was telling Beeb, I said, this really isn't that big of a fight. It's really not. To us, it's huge. To hardcore fans, it's huge. Casual people, nobody cares about this fight. Nobody cares. Nobody knows who Anthony Joshua is. Nobody knows who Usyk is.
Robbie texts me every week. How are we going to watch this fight? How are we going to watch this fight?
Don't worry.
Well, because I want to see the damn fight.
What do you want me to
fight?
Do, Robbie? Do you want me to call Joe Murkowski up and ask him what's going on here? There's nothing I can do here. You already burned bridges with that Triple G.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. That's true.
You
burned a lot of bridges
over there,
Robert.
So I can't do you any favors.
Nope.
Hey,
you may have to log into my account to watch this fight because they may block you.
Yeah,
hey,
you might have to pick back up my account, you know what I'm saying?
Hey,
because,
Joe, I stick to my opinion. What can I say? I still think Canelo will beat Triple G, you know?
Now
you're
doubling down on it.
Bernard Hopkins said he's going to knock – he thinks Canelo's going to stop him in 6 or 7 rounds.
I don't waffle on my opinions. I think Canelo is going to steamroll him.
Robbie, why don't you fly to Ukraine for the week, and then you can get watch it on YouTube for free.
Yeah, right. All right, guys.
All right, Robert.
What is World Week, Beeb? See ya.
All right, Robert, we're gonna get rolling. We're gonna put you on hold here.
Is this guy on Twitter? His name is Joseph Heron.
I gotcha.
That goofball guy. All I did was ask Eddie Hearn, who's the broadcaster.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, well, I talked to somebody in the know, and they told me it's going to be on DAZN. And then I said, okay, we're all suspecting it could be on DAZN. But
yeah.
My question is, why is it taking so long to announce it since the pay-per-view is 2 weeks away? Wouldn't it make sense to probably announce it so people could, you know, so DAZN could start promoting it? Even though it's not a huge fight, at least make an attempt to promote it to the United States viewers.
I would,
you know what I'm saying?
I would definitely go along with that.
That's all. So, I mean, this guy's like, oh, well, geez, someone told me, you know, I had an insider tell me it's going to be on DAZN, and the reason why it's taking so long is because they can't decide whether it's going to be on regular DAZN or pay-per-view.
Oh,
it's
on pay-per-view. Come on.
It's like, dude, shut the fuck up. Stop pretending like you're in the fucking negotiations with how this fight's gonna go. Like, you know what I mean?
Did you see
Bob Arum? All right, I've interviewed Bob Arum several times. How many times has Bob Arum lied? How many times has he lied to me in those interviews? He told me
probably constantly.
he told me Fury was fully vaccinated, right? And he only got one shot. He wasn't fully vaccinated. right?
And in fairness, Bob Arum's like, what, 90 years old or something like that?
What I'm saying is all these people, oh, well, I had an insider tell me this. If you've been following this sport long enough, you have to know that everybody fucking lies. So just because somebody told you something, don't run with it, Coppinger.
Come on. Why do you got to bring him in? Come on. Stop it. He does the best he can. He's trying to make a living. Stop
it. He doesn't.
He's on ESPN. Stop it. I'm going to try to get him on the show. And you know what? When I get him on the show, you're going to answer for every Coppinger thing you've ever said, son. You're going to have to answer for that. You ready for that? You think you're ready for that?
Bring it. I'm ready for it.
All right. I'll tell you what I'm ready for. Philadelphia, 267, you're live.
What's up?
What's up?
Is this Drew?
Yeah, it's Drew.
Philly Drew, baby.
Who else comes from Philly?
Right. Who else lives in Philadelphia? Philly Drew, what's the word, man?
First of all, I got to completely agree with Joe that Teofimo would never win a world title again.
Oh.
Like, seriously, like, the only way he wins the title if he fights for a vacated title and fights a nobody for it. Only way he wins the title.
Nice.
Like, his dad, like, he's spot on. Should not be involved in his boxing career whatsoever. Like, it's really a crime that he really went that far as to not stop him from fighting Kambosos with that serious whatever he had and everything. Because, seriously, he could have died from it now. So why didn't you stop your son from fighting?
Broken esophagus.
Yeah. But the other thing is, Virgil Ortiz, the people are saying he looked good. Tell you the truth, he looked okay. He didn't look great. He looked okay to me. Like,
well, you got high standards, Drew. I mean, nobody can keep up with those, man. I thought he looked pretty. You didn't think he looked good? That guy was fighting wasn't he undefeated? He was a slick boxer. I thought he looked pretty good.
Hey, but he had problems with him. You know.
Sure. The guy was good.
Thank you. So, like, I look at it like this. A guy that's going to give him a lot of problems is a guy that has movement and has power to him. That's a guy that's going to give Virgil Ortiz problems. That seek and destroy method that he's doing is only going to take him so far in his career. Like, and really, he's going to learn from it when he faces a guy like Terrence Crawford, like Errol Spence, because I think those two will eat him alive still. Even though, like, Crawford's going to be 35 soon and everything, I still think he eats Virgil Ortiz alive. I think it'd be an easy fight for him. But another thing, and I think a lot of people haven't talked about this, Burr Cobbs looked good last night. Even though he had those little bit of lapses of being the undisciplined fighter, he was mostly disciplined that night, last night. And he did good. He actually boxed a really good game plan.
There you go. All right, Drew, we're going to get rolling, man. Thank you so much for the call, as always. Great call from Drew. We're going to head to New York. 516, you're live.
What's going on? This is Jesse. What's going on, guys?
Jesse Regan, what's the word?
What's up? Has Haseem Rahman said that he's been lying, or is he still denying?
Yeah.
He came on and said it.
He pretty much – didn't he come clean? He came clean this week, right, Beeb? It wasn't even – like,
all you got to do is Steven Espinosa said, right, that he made a statement that he would not fight below 215. Then he comes out and says on a Twitter space, I was never below 215 the whole camp. Then he comes out and says on that July 7th, he goes like this. He goes, yeah, you know, they keep saying I weighed 216 on July 7th, but there was a guy with a screwdriver standing next to the scale. You guys can put it together. So essentially, he doctored the scale on July 7th to make it look So, and then he keeps saying, oh, well, who pulls out of the fight with a week to go overweight?
You did.
Basically saying that, you know, he was going to weigh 215 and with a week to go, put that to Jake Paul, and Jake Paul's going to be like, oh, I can't cancel the fight with a week left, right? And Jake Paul called his bluff. So you got to listen to what the guy said. And Stephen Espinosa has no motivation to lie. There's no reason
for the show. We know he's truthful. He's a friend of the show.
You know, one way or the other, I mean, he doesn't have to lie to protect Jake Paul. Madison Square Garden, they came out and made a statement about the tickets. And here's another thing people need to realize. And shout out to Chael Sonnen because he made a very intelligent point. So it costs about $300,000, right, to rent out the Madison Square Garden if you're going to hold a sporting event there, right? So if they sold $1 million worth of tickets, right, then they're still in the black. That's number one. But number two, when you're dealing with a fight of this magnitude where it's a pay-per-view, any fight that a big network is involved, the live gate really isn't a huge determining factor in generating revenue for the event, because what happens is whatever the promoter spent to rent to lease the arena for the night, the ticket sales are just going to get him his money back that he put up to rent the arena. And then he's going to make money on the pay-per-view and the sponsors and all that stuff. So this whole thing about them not selling tickets, no. The thing is Rockman said he was not below 215. He planned on coming in to weighing in at 215, and he thought that Jake Paul was not going to cancel the fight with a week to go. Jake Paul called his bluff. And then he's like, well, why didn't they make me another offer? Because they couldn't trust you. Every time they asked you to do something, you lied and agreed to it, and you went back on
everything.
Asked you to do. And then, essentially, they made it a heavyweight fight by allowing you to weigh in at 205, and by you counteroffering with the 215, whenever you counteroffer an original offer, that means you're rejecting the offer that was presented to you. That's law 101. So you rejected 205, and then you're expecting them to come up with another offer after you rejected the 215. Now you want to make 215 after they called your bluff. Now you weigh in at 206.6 after you know you don't have to fight the next day, but you look dead coming in at 206.6. So they called his bluff. He lied about everything.
He still didn't make weight.
He didn't even try to make weight.
Well, to add to your point, too, an MSG representative said that that whole ticket sales thing was never an issue neither, that it was actually
People were saying that Paul did this on purpose and it was never going to happen. Here's the deal. Like, you don't rent out Madison Square Garden, put this on pay-per-view, put those wheels working, hiring the entire undercard to be there, pay these people, everything like that. All this stuff is put into motion to just say, no, I'm not going to do it.
And then they were doing all access on Showtime.
Right.
MVP Promotions put out a statement saying that all the undercard people, well, I think Amanda Serrano and other people, they're going to try to reschedule those fights with the same opponents on another undercard. But every undercard there is getting
paid. They won't get paid like they were going to get paid here.
No, but every undercard is getting paid 50% of what their purse would have been. They put out that statement, which is great business, I think, from MVP.
I get it's great. Yeah, it's great, but, you know.
Better than nothing.
It's better than nothing, right. It's better than nothing. Exactly. All right, Jesse, you're rolling, man. Thank you so much for the call. All right, let's go to San Antonio, 210. San Antonio, you're live.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, who are we speaking with?
Yo, it's Anthony.
Anthony, oh, that's right. All right.
What's up, Anthony?
Oh, he dropped. Anthony, if you're out there, call back. It looks like you just dropped here. 774-774, you're live. Anthony, if you're out there, call back.
Hey, yo, what's happening, people?
He's got a burner phone,
son.
He's got a burner phone, son.
The feds confiscated the
land. God, Georgie's on the land. Georgie, where are you?
508. They confiscated the 508. He's got to drop all. He's calling from
Adam.
He's calling from a Haverhill area code. He moved to Haverhill.
From this day, you'll be my new fool.
There we go, baby.
And
Georgie,
and
back on the line,
now.
Son.
Incognito, but listen, nobody mentioned Terrence Crawford here. What's going on? All of a sudden, and this is all Jake Paul. It's on the right show.
You talked about Terrence Crawford for a half hour. What the fuck are you talking about?
What we hating fucking Rodman for, man?
Because he lied. Cost an event. Single-handedly took down an event.
You guys lie every day on my name, too. I ain't getting mad like that. I'm destroying characters like that, like you guys doing. Man, leave the man a break, bro.
That's how we do. I ain't giving him nothing.
Listen, stop running interference to Hasim Rockman. He doesn't deserve it.
Jason going to call in. Jason going to call in and accuse you guys of racism. So you guys got to chill.
That's right.
Listen, man, I don't know. I feel like boxing is, like, picking up. Like, that last month, that shit was trash. Nothing out there in the horizon. Crawford, now they're switching the conversation to Virgil. How the fuck we went from fucking Spencer to Virgil? Could you expand on that?
Because Virgil's the mandatory in the WBA and the WBO.
Yeah.
He's ranked number one. He's going to be
ranked
the mandatory
for either one of those guys.
Yeah.
Easier fight to make would be Crawford, but he's really ranked number one for either one of those two.
Yeah. He's going to be Crawford's mandatory sooner or later.
Crawford be down the line sooner or later, you said?
Yes.
Listen, but it ain't 34 years old. It ain't 34 years old already.
He's going to be 35.
After 34, anybody get old in that bitch. I don't know, man. It's just like losing the steam. I remember when Crawford was fighting with Porter, I told you guys, like, yo, listen, I really don't give a fuck about these people no more. Because I know Sean was on the decline. I'm not saying Crawford is on the decline, but after a certain age, baby, I don't know. When you guys
any
think
night,
too old,
at this
too
point,
old.
Yep, you can get old at any point. You know, when you're in your 30s boxing, any night you can get old. Especially when you're 34. Yeah, 34. Yeah, that's old, man. That's old. I don't want to hear about Bernard Hopkins. Different people, man. Yep.
Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
Like you never know when you show up if
people,
you're going to have it or you ain't.
But some people say that. They say like Bernard Hopkins, or they talk about fucking Luis Ortiz. But if you count every boxer in the fucking world, and the history of boxing, yo, this is like the breaking of the rule. This is like exceptions to the rule. There is like these people don't come across
outliers,
that often.
Georgie. Outliers. Outliers.
What do you mean?
An outlier. That means another way of saying it, exception to the rule. I have to get you the source.
It's like that, but that's what I'm saying. There is only so few specimens out there that they have accomplished this shit after 34 years old. Most of the time it's deception after fucking letdown. They just don't make it. It's not everybody like that. So this fight
right.
Is to make it this year, man. For next year, that shit gonna lose mass steam, bro. I don't understand it, bro. And what's up with Keith Thurman and fucking Booth? Are they fighting?
That I don't know.
They're not gonna fight.
Know. No, Keith Thurman says he wants to fight a lot of people, but doesn't fight a lot of people, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, I don't know that the Boots fight is really – Keith Thurman wants, like, big money fights, and I just don't think he's a big money type of fighter.
Showtime be backing up Booth for a minute, though. They be backing up Booth for a hot minute. How long Booth been fighting on Showtime, like 5 years?
I don't know if it's been 5 years or not, but – been a couple.
Dude, it's been at least three to four years. No lie. He's been there for 8 minutes. So, and then, like, he got backing from the network. I think, like, ended up saying, like his PVC blocking these fucking fights. I don't know, bro. Because everybody be complaining about that side. And Shade not really getting made on that side. The Sean Porter fight happened when he got out of PVC, right?
I don't think so. I don't know.
You guys supposed to know. You're supposed to be historians of this shit. What the fuck you watch boxing for? Oh, my fucking God. Listen, I got to go.
No, Porter was still with the PBC when Crawford fought him.
Yeah, Georgie.
He was still with the PBC when Crawford fought him.
You know what? Say my hardcore. You guys are hardcore.
You have Google too, Georgie. You have Google too. You can hit the Google button too, you know.
Listen, babe, the only thing that you got to worry about is challenging for the title that Eric be having for a fucking whole year. He's going to have going to go 2022.
No one's stepping up, son. No one's stepping up. I think I beat you for that title, didn't I?
Challenge and getting pie on my face, bro.
Crushed you, son. Pick a fight. Pick any fight, son. Pick any fight, son. Anyone. You want to do the Joshua fight? You want to do the Joshua fight? Nah, you don't want to do that one either.
The rematch. I rock with you, sick. I'm done with that.
Eric, you're picking Joshua.
You got AJ?
I'm taking Joshua.
I'm taking AJ, Georgie.
You guys see? Have you guys seen Usyk in training?
Whoa!
He looks like a monster, son. Huge.
He looks jacked.
Jacked. Listen, you fucked
he looks
up,
huge,
Eric.
Man.
This is when you know you fucked up,
you
right?
Are you gonna take this one, Georgie?
That's what you said last time.
He's not gonna take this one.
Georgie's gonna. Let me tell you what. Georgie's gonna do what he always does. Lose. All right. That's what he's going to do, son.
Listen, everybody, check out.
That's all you got.
Listen, but check it out, the psychology of the fight, right? In the second fight with Ruiz, AJ outboxed Ruiz. He kept his distance, he moved around, blah, 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 blah. But Usyk outboxed AJ on the first fight. So what the fuck AJ going to come and do?
Well, that's what we said about that's what we said with Andy Ruiz, too. That's what we said.
Nah.
What's he going to do differently? Andy Ruiz, he completely changed his style, completely changed his game. Listen, which tells me that he's capable of doing that, all right? Which tells me that he puts his ego on the shelf and he listens to his people.
Listen. What? Do you remember the clock controversy that AJ went against the ropes and the clock fucking disappeared?
Yeah, that was that last round, wasn't it?
They took out like
7-8 seconds out of that bitch because they know what time it is. It ain't Georgie got the biggest chin out there. Everything is against him. And you already fucked up. You took the challenge.
Georgie.
So I know I'm going to end up raining and defending up in here.
Georgie, listen to this. You said that Usyk outboxed AJ in the first fight. But if you look back at rounds 9, 10, 11, and 12, he actually outfought him as well in those rounds. Everyone's saying, oh, all AJ has to do is be more aggressive. Well, he tried to be more aggressive in round 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8, and it didn't work because Usyk started hurting him.
I don't think he does need to be more aggressive. I'll be honest with you. I don't think he does need to be more aggressive. But that's his game plan. I don't think AJ can even hurt Usyk.
And Usyk can hurt AJ.
Well, no, AJ can hurt him if he hits him.
AJ can absolutely hurt him.
He can hurt him. I wouldn't go as far as saying he can't hurt him.
Usyk's too nice. He's not gonna get caught with anything flush.
Anybody over 200 pounds can put you away. Period.
What's your weight right now, Georgie? What's your weight right now?
Listen, right now I'm ready to go fucking at least 6 rounds with Eric, bro. I fly down,
you
down there.
I'll be ready for that fight. Will be what? Four and a half rounds.
Eric will fold you up like a lawn chair. Forget about it. You're from Lawrence. You're not from the city like me. You're not from the city like me. You're from Lawrence. You can't.
Yo, I gotta go,
you
guys.
Can't hang and bang.
God bless
like,
everybody.
Like we can.
Everybody, listen to the channel. Please support the channel. Donate. Give the thumbs up. Subscribe. I'm out.
All right, Georgie. It was very subdued, Georgie, today.
Yeah.
Very subdued, man. He's on those downers.
He's
in rehab now. Off of. He's off the cane now.
Right. He's off the white horse, man. He's been down. He's been taking it down a couple pegs.
That's right. He's off the cocaina, the white girl, the white horse, the devil's dandruff. 760, you're live.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Brian. Eric, don't hang up.
Jesus.
I
called you.
Jesus.
I called you this week. You didn't pick the phone up. What's going on, man?
Yeah, why
didn't
you pick up the phone? Why didn't you pick up the phone,
man?
He called you. He called you.
Why you ghosted him, man? Why
you ghosted
him?
You ghosted
him.
You swiped left on Tinder on him, son.
Look, I've been driving all nighters, man. I've been working hard.
Don't give me that nonsense. Nobody wants to hear your problems, son. They tuned in here to forget about their problems.
Look, hey, I'm sorry, man. But look, man. You know I'm mad about this whole Jake Paul and seeing Rockman fight not happening. Damn. Shit. I thought I had something
to do. You were looking forward to that, huh?
And I didn't have nothing to do. Hey, B, man, I felt bad for you because you got up there and you like, you was trying to stand up for Haseem Rockman and justify whatever was going on, and he just let you down, man. That's fucked up, man.
Yeah, he just straight let B down. I felt bad. Even I felt a little bit bad for B after that, man.
Yeah, it was
not so bad that I gave him a call or anything like that, but I was like, you know.
And lie. And
yeah,
lie.
You know,
I thought he was already
totally
2-5, to be honest. I'm like, man, the way this guy's talking, it sounds like he's ready to go. You know what I'm saying? But
I'm going to be honest with you, man. I'm going to be honest with you, Brian. The dude broke my heart, man.
I could tell, man.
I tried to stick up for him, man.
I could tell.
I tried to stick up for him. I couldn't do it no more.
Yeah, it was.
You let me
it
down,
was
man.
Kind of like, you know, that feeling of when, hey, it was that feeling when Andy Ruiz got on the scale and he was bigger than what he was on the first fight. And he was just trying to explain it and justify it. And
he had weights in his pocket. He did it all
It's like when you go on Match.com. It's like when you go on Match.com, right? And this girl posts a picture that looks like Asia Carrera, right? And then you go to the place where you're supposed to meet her, like the restaurant where you're going to meet her. And guess what shows up? A wildebeest.
Asia Carrera at 20 or Asia Carrera at 50? Was it Asia Carrera at 20 or Asia Carrera at like 55?
Yeah.
Which one was it?
Don't do it.
Which one was it?
You know I like Asia Carrera. Go ahead, Brian. Press
she looks like an old maid now.
Whoa!
Man, these guys. They just good for letting everybody down, man. What's going on with the Terrence Crawford and Phil Spence thing? That ain't happening.
Probably going to go the way of the Jake Paul fight. B's very optimistic. I'm not so optimistic here. I think that I don't think that fight's happening, man. I'll be honest. I don't think that fight's happening. I hope it happens.
Don't look
I hope
like
I get
it.
Wrong.
It don't.
No, it doesn't.
It don't sound like it. It definitely don't sound like it because you don't hear nothing and it don't look like it. But, hey, this is all we do is talk about fights that don't happen, even fights that signed.
I know, right?
That is a week away that ain't going to happen. I'm just like, hey, man, when are we going to get a fight? When is the Anthony Joshua Usyk fight? I'm waiting on that.
20th.
Yeah. 13 days away.
Okay. Oh man, I'm waiting.
We don't even know where we can watch it yet. The 13 days left.
Yeah.
That's for us, you know. Third world problems over here.
We don't know. Hopefully,
we don't know.
On
somebody's gonna pick it up. Somebody's gonna pick it up.
I'm hoping.
Yeah, somebody's gonna pick it up. We'll
see
it somewhere. Hey, I don't think AJ. I don't know how he's gonna make adjustments.
How is he going to make adjustments to the Ruiz fight? Son, he's proven he can make adjustments.
Eric,
he's proven he can change his entire style.
He got a different coach. I get it, but he got a different coach. Help me to figure.
Just
you know, he'll feel better on the situation. I'm trying to.
I don't told you. Look,
confidence in
look,
the
he
guy.
Fought when he got Mike, knocked out by Andy Ruiz. Everybody was saying there's no way he's going to beat Ruiz again. Ruiz has got his number. Completely changed his entire
right.
style and whipped Andy Ruiz.
Right.
Didn't even win a round.
I get
here's
that.
The problem.
I
here's
get
the problem.
It.
Brian, listen to me.
But he hired
Brian, listen to me. Here's
coach.
The problem. Brian, listen to me for a second.
What?
Brian, listen to me for a second. Eric very rarely picks the underdog, but when he does pick the underdog, they usually hit. Like when he picked Bellew over David Haye. So I don't think Joshua's going to win this fight, but because Eric is picking him, I'm thinking twice about it now. Because Eric to pick
minute.
An underdog, he really has to see.
That's it. Better think about that.
Eric never picks, like, very rarely.
You
picks.
Know I'm chalk all the way.
I'm picking Usyk. So
wait a minute.
Wrong.
You guys think AJ would be favored to win this fight? I mean, you don't think he would – You think Usyk would be favored to win, like in a bet? Nah.
Usyk is the favorite.
Usyk is the favorite.
He is the favorite.
He is?
He's a -200.
Oh wow!
Yeah, he's a favorite.
Damn. You know what? Okay, Eric. I'm gonna go ahead and listen to you and put about 100 on Anthony Joshua. I'm gonna head to Vegas as soon as I get home. I'm going with the underdog.
Sounds good to me.
How much? What's the odds on it? What's the odds on it?
He's a +160. It's not that great. The odds are tight.
Oh. Odds are tight. It's a close fight. It's a close fight.
The odds are tight.
Okay.
The odds are tight. I scored the first fight 9-3 for Usyk. I only gave Joshua 3 rounds
you
in the
know,
first fight.
Think,
but some people had it.
I think
some
if,
people had it closer.
If you want to make some money, to make some money in that, what's the knockout? What's the odds on a knockout from AJ?
I don't think anybody's getting knocked out. I'd be surprised if anybody got knocked out.
I
know this, but what are the odds on it? I just want to see.
I think may stop him. I'm gonna be honest. I'm gonna look, bro. Let me look at the line. Let me pull up the odds there, bro.
Hey, Beeb, I had that first fight 117-111 for Usyk.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I only gave Joshua 3 rounds.
Yeah.
All right, let me see. We got a bout.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Let me see. So Joshua is +160. Usyk is a -200. The over-under is 10.5. The over is a -155. The under is a +125. They don't have any prop bets yet. They usually have the prop bets the week of the fight. So when I get the prop bets for you,
okay.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know.
I think Usyk may stop him.
Possible. Anything's possible, man.
We,
two heavyweights.
If we can get a +250 or a +300 on Usyk by stoppage, we got to take Usyk by stoppage fine.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
All right, Brian, we're going to get rolling.
That'll be crazy.
We're going to cut Brian off early again.
I knew it.
All right. Exit stage left, Brian.
That's right. I'll tell you what. You know what concerns me, though? I'll tell you what really concerns me is when I saw Usyk in training.
Fucking Jack.
He is jacked up, right? I mean, he's huge. He looks great.
I'm betting Usyk by stoppage.
But I'll tell you what. I don't like the way he looks. I don't like it.
I do.
I don't like it at all. I do not like it at all, man. I don't like that big of a change because he looks huge. And it could have been, again, man, he's in the war. He's training over. Listen,
but
man.
But it's muscle. He looks jacked.
I get it, but that muscle takes oxygen too.
Yeah.
And that's what they were getting on AJ about. Everybody, I think even Andre Ward, somebody said something to AJ, they would like to see him cut down on the muscle.
Ward said that, yeah.
It was it Ward that said that? Yeah, they wanted him to cut down on that muscle. And it makes sense. I get you. I don't know. I think with Robert Garcia, I want to say he's going to try to fight on the inside. I don't know. I don't know what his game plan is going to be.
I don't like Robert Garcia as the trainer for this fight. I don't.
It's different. Yeah, he's a different kind of guy. But I think that he may be able to bring out the real Anthony Joshua. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we'll see. Because I know
anything can happen in this fight. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not confident about anything, really, to be honest with you.
Corey Lee Boxing, thank you so much. Awesome show. It's Ice Season Usyk by KO. There you go.
I'm picking Usyk by stoppage.
There you go. Wee Smack has said, is the Jack look good for boxing? No.
I don't know.
Actually, the opposite. Actually, typically it's the opposite, right? You know, when you're that big, your muscles take more oxygen, and it's more of an endurance type sport. So you could have especially putting on weight. Putting on weight in boxing is real dangerous because, that will affect your stamina. Muscle is going to affect your stamina. It's kind of a give and take. So you got to have people in your corner, the nutritionist and all the other people that know what they're doing, so you can put it on properly and still have the endurance. That's kind of the key to it. So it's a very difficult thing to do. But to answer your question, not necessarily looking jacked is not necessarily great. News and rumors here. Daniel Dubois. Babe, wasn't that the guy that lost, that quit against Joe Joyce? Was that Daniel Dubois? No.
He had to stop fighting.
That was it. That was serious injury, right? Yeah.
Serious injury. Could have gone blind. We don't want that from anybody in the sport of boxing.
Yeah, he was going to go blind doing something else. So, he sues Don King for lack of payment. He still hasn't gotten paid. he never got paid from Don King. Don King then put out a press release saying that he wired the money. He's waiting for information from Frank Warren to try to wire him the money, so they put it in escrow. Why does this problem follow Don King everywhere? Anybody who wants to know why Don King fell out of being the top promoter ever and to where he's at now with no fighters, everybody's scared to do business with him, this is why. This is why. You see this all the time from him. The WBC has ordered Jose Zepeda versus Regis Prograis to fight for the title. Now, whether they do fight or not, the WBC just ordered it, so it really doesn't mean much. Sam Rondo says Don King is just misunderstood. Exactly. My feelings, too. I don't know if the fight will happen, but I like the fight if it does happen. Regis Prograis deserves a shot. He deserves to be champion. You know, I think he wins that fight, and I think Regis has been held down for way too long. He needs to get himself with a good promotional company and go, man. So, yeah, hopefully he gets to it, man.
I agree.
Joe Joyce, your boy, Beeb, versus Joseph Parker, set for September 24th. This will be his toughest fight to date. All right, this will be his toughest fight to date.
It's a good fight.
This is a really, really good fight. And this is going to show you, is this guy for real? Or is he, you know, because if he wins this fight, I predict he's next in line for that shot.
I'm hoping we can see this on ESPN Plus. We may be able to see this on ESPN Plus because usually.
I would imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, usually when it's a BT Sport show, we get to see it on ESPN Plus because they got to deal with BT, like the BT Sport, kind of.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, man, this is it, man. This is do or die. This is do or die for Joe Joyce, man. He's, what is he, 35, 36 years old now?
He's 35 years old, so he can't wait any longer. He's got to get these big fights now.
Lil Penny said it best. He said, Joe Joyce always takes risk. I like that. He's right. He's 100% right. He fought Daniel Dubois. Dubois was the up-and-comer at the time, the big guy at the time. Hey, you know. There you go. All right, guys, that is the news, all right? That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at jhabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. Just a side note, and you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. Now, as a side note, if you guys have not subscribed to us yet, subscribe to us, hit the bell so you know when Beeb's doing lives. All week, Beeb has been grinding, doing lives just about every day. I mean, he's talking about something every day, and they're all good shows. And they're all good shows, and he involves the thing I like about it is he involves you guys. He brings you on the show and everything like that. You can, you know, you can get the link. You can get on here. You can talk to the Beeb, everything like that. I don't allow it because I'm not like that. I work by myself. Beeb is the only guy privileged enough to be by my side. You understand? All the rest of you guys will stay in chat world, all right? That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is, all right? But Beeb is the nice one. Beeb lets you guys in, all right? So remember that.
We also are going to be having the roundtable this Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern time on this channel. This week we'll be doing the roundtable. We've got a gigantic panel. Got some newcomers on there. So make sure you tune into the roundtable, 8 p.m. Eastern time on Ringside Reporter this Thursday.
Yeah, if you guys haven't caught that show either, it's really good. It's a really good concept. Always good topics on there. A lot of fun to be on. A lot of fun to listen to. So guys, definitely go check it out. All right, guys, we will see you guys next week.